Amen. Buenos días. Amen. My name is Manuel Gomez, for those who don't know us. And we're glad to be back. We're glad to be here. My wife just had a new baby, amen, 3 weeks ago. And we were praying for a boy, amen. And we would go to the doctor, to the ultrasound, and the doctor told my wife it was going to be a girl, amen. I said, no, me and God got this, amen, it's going to be a boy. Yeah, I don't need to look at that. It was a girl, amen. So we'll just try again. Amen, and it's been good. It's been good to serve the Lord. I want to thank the Lord for Help Ministries. I was back there just feeling so small and little, and things were coming to my mind. And I remember when Help Ministries first took us in, I might have been like 17 years old. I was a mess, amen. Where's the single brother? Okay, not as bad as him, but I was a mess. And Help Ministries took a chance with us, just a young boy, had a burden to do right, had a burden to do to serve the Lord. And the Lord's allowed us throughout these years now to start 4 churches alongside my father, a church alongside my Uncle Manuel, and now 5 churches on our own by the grace of God. Amen. And we give God all the glory. Amen. We give God all the glory. Amen. And after listening to the testimony of my brother Jose, where's he at? Brother from Oaxaca. Amen. He's small, but I felt this small.
Yeah.
Man, I felt little. You see, I've had an automatic weapon pointed at me before.
Yeah.
But I've never taken a bullet. Here's a man that's taking a bullet, not one, several, for the gospel. Amen. He's my hero. He's my hero. Esther chapter 8. I just came here to be part of the conference and say hi to friends, and I wasn't expecting to preach, and Brother Ron's asked me to preach, and I just want to be a blessing this morning. Esther chapter 8, verse 1. If you're able to, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Amen. Let's stand. Amen. You stand to show respect. You stand to show reverence. And it was a common thing for people to stand. You know, for example, when you said the Pledge of Allegiance, amen. And boy, now we're in a mess, amen. And people get culture shocks when they go into other countries. I get a culture shock every time I come in, amen. Just can't believe. But I thank God we can honor the Lord this morning, amen. Esther chapter 8, verse 1. On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman the Jews' enemy unto Esther the queen, and Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite, and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the things seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedata the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? This is Help Ministries in one verse. People being burdened for their people. Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, Behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows because he laid his hands upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. Then were the king's scribes called at the time in the third month, and that is the month of Sivan, and 23rd day thereof. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews, and their lieutenants, and the deputies, and the rulers of the provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia, and 127 provinces unto every province according to the writing thereof, and to every language after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing, and according to their language. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name, and sealed it with the king's ring, and sent letters by post, on horseback, and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries, wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that were assault them, both alike, ones and women, and to take the spoil of them to prey. Verse 14, So the posts that rode upon the mules and camels went out, being hastened, and pressed on by the king's commandment, and the decree was given at Shushan the palace. Father, I thank you this morning that I can stand here in this pulpit. Lord, you know how small I feel this morning, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you this morning, Lord. Would you make me a help? Would you make me a blessing to your people? In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're introduced here in the book of Esther to some perilous times. Evil has come upon the people of Israel. There is a wicked man named Haman who desires in his heart to destroy the people of God. He has come to a place of authority, and he decides he will use that authority to destroy. I don't understand why people would use authority to destroy, but that's just what you call evil. Amen. Anytime you take authority to kill the weak, to destroy, to cause harm upon people, the only way that you can describe it is evil on this earth. So we understand in the book of Esther that God's people were at risk. God's people were at risk. Men, women, children alike were about to all be slaughtered, were to all be killed and slaughtered and taken away from the face of the earth. But the Bible also tells us of a godly man named Mordecai. A godly named Mordecai who had a burden. Who had a burden and pray. Amen. There's not a lot of things that we can do. But if God would give us a burden throughout this mission conference, I believe we can change this world upside down. Amen. I believe that if there's something we need this morning is a burden. A true burden from God. And he got a burden. He got a hold of Esther. He got a hold of Esther, who had also recently been promoted to a place of privilege, to the queen in the palace of King Ahasuerus. We see a young woman here who was willing to use her position, her influence, not to kill people, not to destroy people, but to give life unto people. We understand that every time that we've been privileged, we understand that when we're privileged in position, we're privileged with resources, we're privileged with influence, we've been privileged with all of these things, not for our sake, but we've been privileged with this so that we can help other people. Amen? And missions exist. And God is doing a great work around the world because there's people that have used their blessings to serve others. Amen. To love others and to send the gospel so that others might be saved. She goes before the king with a burden, a true burden. There's tears in her eyes. She's heartbroken. She explains the situation. There's compassion, there's supplication, and there's sacrifice. She's willing to perish and give her life for the salvation of her people. Well, that little Esther didn't go into that chamber, on her own. God was with her, amen? And God gave her grace. And the Bible says that all of God's people were praying, and all of God's people were fasting. And the Bible says that Haman was fasting, and Haman was praying, and everybody was doing their job. Listen, no one man alone, no one woman alone can do the work of God by themselves. It takes all of God's people, amen? We must all come together. And before we say it was all Esther and she did have to do a lot of it, it was also a lot of God's people that were praying, that were begging, that were asking God to do a miracle. Amen. And the Lord did a miracle. The Bible says that the letter was reversed. The letter was overthrown. And I'd like to take 10 minutes that I have to preach about this letter. I'd like to simply preach this. A letter like no other. A letter like no other. I'd like to say first of all that it was a letter like no other because of its authority. The Bible says that it had the authority of the king. Amen. It had the authority of the king, Ahasuerus, and he sealed it with this ring. Now this was the great king. This man ruled over the greatest empire in that time. 127 provinces, countries that spans from Ethiopia, Egypt, all the way unto India. The most powerful government of the day. The most powerful king of the day. He had a vast army. Nobody even dared come close to him. He sits on a throne, and his throne is made out of gold. He sits on a city that's on a hill, so people can look up and revere this God King as he has proclaimed himself. There is great authority. There's no greater authority in the land at that moment than of this king. But may I tell you this morning that there's a greater king than this earthly king. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of Lords, and he's the King of Kings. Amen. He sits on the throne. He rules over all. His name is Jesus. Amen. We have been given a letter also as the Church of Jesus Christ. We have been given the gospel letter, and our authority comes from no man. Our authority comes from no denomination. Our authority comes from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's what makes this letter a letter like no other. It's a letter like no other because of its authority. Secondly, I'd like to say that it's a letter like no other because of its content. It contains some pretty good stuff in it. The letter has been reversed. People are going to die. People are going to perish. But because of the grace of God, the letter has been overturned. The letter has been reversed. And that letter says that the people of God no longer have to perish. That letter says that the people of God now can live. That letter says that every man, every woman, every child has a right to life. They can fight for their life and they wouldn't be contrary to the king. It's a letter like no other because it's a letter that brings life. It's a letter that brings hope. May I tell you that as the people of God, we have also been given a letter that offers salvation, offers redemption. There is grace. There is forgiveness. If you're here lost without Jesus, you don't have to die in your sins. This is the letter that brings salvation unto man. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Our gospel letter is like no other letter because of it's a letter of life. Not only do we see the authority of the letter, we see the what this letter contains. But I also like to say that it's a letter like no other because of the deliverers of the letter. The Bible says, verse 10, Esther chapter 8, verse 10. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name and sealed it with the king's ring and set letters by post on horseback and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries. So we see here that it's a very diverse group of messengers. You have your camels that can go a long time without having the need of any water. Amen. And there were camels needed in this kingdom for this letter to be delivered. We need some camels now to deliver the word of life. Amen. There was some camels. There was some horses also. There were some horses that could go. There were some horses. We need some horses also. Amen. There was some dromedaries, man. These guys, these animals were quick. I mean, they could just go lightning fast. Amen. But I'm going to stop here. The Bible says that there was some mules also. There was some burros. There was some mulas. I like this one the best. I identify myself with this one right here. I'll tell you three things. Why it takes a mule to take this letter. I'll tell you three things why it takes a mule. Well, it takes a mule because a mule is stubborn. Listen, if you're going to preach the gospel of Christ, you better be stubborn. You better not be giving up so easy. You got to be stubborn. We just heard the testimony of this man. I keep losing him. From Oaxaca, Mexico, that got up here. And they told him one time and another time and another time to stop preaching the gospel. You know why he didn't stop? Because he's a mule. He's stubborn. You put some bullets in him and you'd think he would stop. But he's got 3-4 bullets and he's still going. That's a mule right there. And this is what help ministries is all about. There's a lot of ministries, worldwide mission ministries that the Lord's blessing all throughout the world. Amen. And we pray for each one of them. Amen, Brother Scott. They're good ministries. Some of our refined ministries. Some are better prepared ministries than us. But I don't think they got the mules we got.
See, a mule can go in the mountain. A mule can go in the hill. A mule can go where a horse cannot go. A mule will go where a camel can't go. A mule will go where a dromedary can't go. Somewhere along all these years, God gave a vision to Brother Scotty Drake that if we were going to reach the world for Christ, we were going to need some mules. We were going to need some mules. And this is what Help Ministry is all about. A bunch of stubborn preachers that want to be stubborn about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You want to kill him? Go ahead and kill him. You want to shoot him? Go ahead and shoot him. You want to go ahead and persecute him? Persecute him. But we're going to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mules. Stubborn. Man, you got to be a little stubborn to serve Jesus, amen. We got a lot of weak knee people nowadays, amen. This young millennial crowd that's coming up and so in love with their cell phone and themselves, listen, I ain't got time for them, amen. See, you already got your little feelings, sir. You ain't no mule. Stubborn. Not only is a mule stubborn, a mule can take some weight. It's an animal to take burdens. You hear some of the burdens that these men carry. Some of them are over 15 churches and 20 churches, and you see the stuff that they face and the burden. Yet you see them come up here with a smile and they worship God and they worship the Lord. You know why? Because they're mules. God made them. God prepared them so they could carry that weight. Amen. They can take burdens. I'll tell you another third thing about a mule. A mule ain't pretty. You're looking for pretty folk? You better go somewhere else. We ain't got them, right, Brother Isaac? But they get the job done. The deliverers of this letter were diverse. The deliverers of this letter were given a command. They were told to go to each one of the 127 provinces. Not one of them could be unreached with the letter. We've also been given a command to take the gospel letter, to take the word of God to every country, to every nation. That is our command as missionaries. That is our command as the church. That is our command as the people of God, to go to every nation, to go to every kindred, to go to every tribe. They were given a second command. And the second command, the Bible says that the king told them to hasten, 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 to move it, to move. There's no time to lose. People are going to die. People are going to perish. Families are going to be destroyed. Communities will be wiped out. This letter must get there in time. It's time to get it down. It's time to move it. That's why we're compelled. He was told to hasten. Hasten. Esther chapter 8 verse 16, and I'm finished with this. After the letter was delivered, the Bible says in verse 16, the Jews had light. Isn't that what the gospel does? It brings light. It brings light. They had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day, and many of the people of the land became Jews. I'd like to finish with talking about the results, the effects of the letter. It changes people's lives. It changes people's lives. Before this letter ever arrived, people were crying. People were clinging. People were hiding. People were crying. People didn't know what to do. There was no hope. But when the letter arrived, the Bible says that there was light. Amen? There was light. The Bible says that there was hope. The Bible says they were joyful. The Bible says they feasted. This is the effect of the letter of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? I've seen it. I've seen this gospel work in my family. I've seen
seen it work in the lives of people. There might be brokenness. There might be darkness. There might be sin. But thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes lives. Listen, there's a lot of people that still don't have the letter. Missions Conference, the reason that health ministries exist is so that people can get this blessed letter. What are you doing this morning to get this letter to a lost and dark world? Lord bless you.
Amen. Amen. Let's stand with heads bowed, eyes closed. We'll conclude here this morning. The instruments will play. I don't want to drag on a lengthy invitation, but I realize this. You could be here today and God could have spoken to your heart. And we want to give you a chance to respond to that. If the Lord's spoken to your heart, the altar's open. You come. You come on. You don't have to wait for the music to start playing, but you come. We're going to have Thomas sing just in a moment, but the altar's open. I'm going to have a quick prayer. We've been challenged by the Word of God. Verse 14 said they were pressed on by the King's commandment. Father, may we be pressed on by the King's commandment. Lord, this letter is a life-changing letter. May we be about the King's business. Accomplish in our hearts what you desire. We ask this in Jesus' name. As Brother Thomas sings, if you need to come, the altar's open. I have